Welcome to the Your Peak Life Podcast. Let's conquer the summit of life and reach the apex of our potential.
Welcome to another episode of the Your Peak Life Podcast. Today, our special guest is Stephanie Battles with First Class Real Estate, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. All I know is that you're killing a real estate game and you signed up for a podcast. So that's really all I know. So I want to just start with, please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe where you're from, where you went to school, family, whatever, anything.
Okay. My name is Stephanie Battles. I am going to be 35 years old. I had to think for a second. I have three kids, 4, 5, and 12, almost. I'm originally from Colombia.
Okay.
I moved to the States back in 2012. And currently I am married. I've been married to my husband for going on 5 years, but we've been together for like about 8. Okay. I got started in real estate 2.5 years ago. And I've been very fortunate so far. I've sold 92 houses.
Yeah. So we're going to just dive right into that. because really, you know, we do a lot of interviews here. They're not all real estate driven, but what I want to talk about is how in 2.5 years have you managed three kids, maintaining a relationship, maintaining a household, and building a hell of a business, you know?
So one thing I need to tell you is my mom lives with us. She moved with us from Colombia.
Well, she doesn't live with me, but.
But she's
my mom, like, she lives with us. So she helps me a lot because my husband is in the car business. And, you know, that business is like just as long hours as we do.
Like ours.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I definitely couldn't do everything I do without her. She supports me a lot at home.
Awesome.
My kids all go to school, thankfully, as well. But
yeah, they're in that age, right? Where they all.
Mm-hmm. So my little man started going to school this year. But she's always the one that's been like helping me out at home so that I can do everything else that I do.
No doubt. Absolutely.
So Travis is eating good. Travis is her husband, by the way. So, he's eating good.
I mean, where does he work at?
Casey Chevrolet. He's a general sales manager there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, a little plug. If you need a Chevy, go see Travis.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My next question is, you've only been here for 12 years.
Yes.
What's that been like as far as coming here, figuring out what you were going to do or start your family?
Culture shock like?
It was really hard at the beginning. I am from the city. Like where I'm from, Cali, Colombia, it's like complete city. So when I came here, this was for me like traumatizing.
So could you give an example? Like what would a city in America look like?
New York.
If you could. Okay. Okay.
You always see people out walking and a lot of traffic and
food stands and people selling stuff and magazine cards, like the whole nine.
Yes. Okay. Literally. So, you know, coming here, it's gorgeous and it's so cheap. Well, for us with dollars.
Right.
But when I got here, I initially made it to Newport News. That's where my ex-husband brought me here.
Okay.
So we were living in Newport News, and I remember the little street we were living in, like, had no, like, light posts. It was, like, crazy. So, like, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, in the wintertime, which I got here in September, so pretty quick we got into winter. It was, like, everything just so dark, and I was so depressed. I was pregnant with my oldest. So it was, like, very shocking for me to go from so much activity to like a country where I didn't know how to drive. My English was still not like the best, but it was not great at all back in the day. And just depending so much on, like, over there I could grab a public bus very easily or a cab. Here it was like very hard. And then I didn't have the best relationship in the day. And it was very lonely. And I was going through like physical abuse, like mental abuse. It was really hard at the beginning. And then my mom got cancer. She was diagnosed with cancer in February. So my son was born in December. And then when he was 6 weeks old, she got diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
Oh man.
And so it was really hard. So at that point I had to like, oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Oh, you're fine.
Well, is your mom here at this time?
Yes, okay. She made it. it was a miracle. But I had to go work as a hostess, and I was cleaning houses.
Okay, so, service industry and cleaning people's homes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that I could help her with all her medical bills and stuff like that in Colombia. And so I remember my ex-husband, like, he was like, well, if I'm going to be moving you around all these places for you to work, you got to give me money for gas. It was like crazy. It was nuts.
And you got two jobs.
Got it. Babe, I'm charging gas money. No.
Yes.
No, she gets her own money. Like, you know what I mean?
It
like,
was nuts because I couldn't drive. I didn't know how to drive.
Yeah. Well, I guess it wasn't really like Uber probably wasn't a big deal 2012. Yet.
I don't even think if it would have been, I probably didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
Yes. True.
That, yeah. I mean, you like, yeah. You're just alone.
Yes. Yes. And then thankfully I had a really sweet friend that I met, and she would like sometimes go pick me up, take me either to the bus stop or to work. And it was very hard at the beginning. I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all. It was really hard.
Well, let's get to the good part then. Yeah. What led you to meeting your current husband, and what went from there to real estate? Cause the timeline says that you met him and it seems like your life got a lot better.
Yes. 1,000%. I call him my saving grace. So, I got divorced, and maybe like 2 years later, I was working as a bartender at the time and at T-Mobile. I was at T-Mobile selling phones for 8 years.
Here in the area?
At Newport News.
Okay.
So I worked at T-Mobile, and I was bartending here in Virginia Beach. And
so you were T-Mobile and across the HRBT.
That's what I'm saying. She has drive. So it's like, where did you get that?
Well, but that's what we're getting at here. You know, we want the people to know, because, you know, everybody sees that you're working out and you're spending time with your family and you're selling a lot of houses. They don't see the struggle. They don't see the hard work. They don't see the long nights. They don't see the early mornings. So that's what we're peeling back the onion and telling the people the truth.
Yeah. So I was working as a bartender Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, and, you know, trying to make ends meet, and I was supporting my son. So obviously the shock of going from being married and releasing all the stress and the pain from, you know, all those years of domestic abuse.
I have a divorce ribbon.
I was hiding behind drinking, and because I was in the area of like bartending and stuff like that.
And sailors.
Yes. I was like staying up until late, you know, after the bar would close, we would stay there like having party, beers and whatever. Yeah. Right. So one night I had a Jeep Grand Cherokee back in the day, and I was driving down the tunnel, and I was falling asleep because I was, you know, kind of like drunk. And my truck, my wheels hit the side of the tunnel. Thankfully, nothing happened. The noise like, and
woke
the,
you up.
Yes, woke me. And I was like freaking out the whole entire way to my house. So I never fall asleep again. But then that was a Saturday night. And then Sunday, you know, broke person mentality. I don't have $1,000 or $1,500 to go change my wheels, but I have good credit, so I'm going to go change my car, right? I'm going to go trade in my car to get a new car.
Okay.
Because I can't drive with these rims like this, whatever. So I Googled after I'm meeting at T-Mobile, like dealership near me that's open on a Sunday. Only my husband's dealership was open. So I drove there to trade in the vehicle, and I bought a Traverse. And he was the one taking care of me that day. So he only works one Sunday a month. And that was the one Sunday that he worked that month. So it kind of like was meant to be for me to go there and meet him. And then he started like sending me a message. He made me go back to sign my paperwork like 5 times.
Kudos, Travis. Good job, Travis.
Yeah.
And then one day he was like, do you have a sister? I'm like, my husband is really good looking, by the way. I was like, why would he be asking me if I have a sister?
Yeah.
And then he was like, I asked him, like, why? And he was like, well, you're so good looking. You're beautiful. I'm assuming if you have a sister, she's going to be just as beautiful as you are. I was like, okay, well, no, I don't have a boyfriend. So hi. And we started talking a little bit. And it just took off from there very quick. Like, I think within 3 months, we were living together. And here we are, super That's married. Awesome.
Great story.
Yeah.
I just got one question before, you know, fill this gap. When did you start learning how to drive?
And speak English.
So,
yeah, like wait, there's a little bit here.
Yeah.
So I went to a bilingual school when I was in Colombia, but Obviously, I graduated when I was 16 years old, and I didn't move here until 23. So it was a big gap of me not talking in English, because in Colombia, there's like literally no need for it, you know. And so when I got here, most of it had like left me, or it was very dormant. And it took me a while. You know, the one thing I do give my ex is that he will like force me when we would go to restaurants, like, you can order, try to order, and, you know, try to communicate yourself with people. So it, you know, it started coming back a little bit, but obviously I have my heavy accent. When I get mad, it's like, whoa, very noticeable. But then, you know, now that with my husband, he's American, so I really don't speak much in Spanish, other than with my mom and my best friends.
What about the kids? Are you teaching them?
They do. So these little suckers are very smart, because they don't talk to me in Spanish, because they know I know English. But the conversations they have with my mom, they're full and blown in Spanish. It's absolutely crazy.
So I have the same thing. I love it. So, I mean, I moved my mom here, and it's like when she was – look. Good job on you, because I can't have my mom living with me. So it's like after 3 months, we got her a house, and she has her own house. But during the weeks we need her, she comes over and she watches the kids, which is great. It's grandma's watching them.
Yeah.
And yeah, she talks to the kids in Spanish.
So they're getting both, man. That's awesome.
But they won't talk to us in Spanish.
Oh, no.
You know, everything's like, quieres más arroz, quieres más lo, whatever.
They'll respond to you in English.
Yeah. But they won't.
I'm pretty sure that Jackson is going to speak fluent Spanish.
It's so cute
to see. He's like the only one in the house, but Evie will teach him, and he's... Bro, he learns it like it's scary. He's like, oh wow, that's crazy. So I think they probably like just talk, you know, they might be talking about me and I don't know. And then
What about how's your mom taking it? You know, you're away. I think I heard you talking. I don't know if it was your mom or your uncle or somebody. You're basically scolding them about what they're eating.
That's my uncle.
That was the phone call.
Yeah. I kind of picked up like it's typical Latina. Like you're not eating right. This is what you're feeling like.
He's had some health issues in Colombia, and he's supposed to eat very clean, and he's not. So he landed at the ER last night, and I was having a little
and so your mom moves here, and how is she taking it?
I know she didn't move here willingly.
what does that mean?
she came to visit. She had a visa, right? So she would come once a year for 6 months to help me out a little bit, you know, support me, be with me, because I was divorced by myself, blah blah. And she came, and I have to backtrack a little bit. My husband and I were trying to have a kid together. We couldn't, so we ended up doing IVF.
Okay.
So my daughter is an IVF baby. So when she was born, I was like, I need a break from medicine, from hormones, from all these shots. I had gained like 75 pounds throughout all that process of my pregnancy. So I told my husband, like, I don't think I need birth control. We can't have kids, you know, I need a break. And so I got a really bad postpartum depression when my daughter was born. And it was like everything I was feeling in my body made me think that I was like having some sort of cancer at all times. It was crazy. I was in a very dark place. And so there was this news that came in wherever I saw it, I don't remember. And they were talking about like breast implants and like these type of cancer that they cause. And my mind went absolutely crazy. And within 2 weeks from that, I already had a surgery plan to get them out. So my plastic surgeon is in Colombia. So I was going to fly back to Colombia. And, I did. I flew back, and I was going to get my implants removed. But then I found out while I was there that I was, again, pregnant with my son, with my baby.
So you can't do nothing.
So I was like, there is absolutely no way. That's not my blood. You messed up my blood. I need another draw. So they took my blood. I went to the lab. And on the way there, I told my mom, like, my mom was still in Colombia, stop me at a pharmacy. I'm going to get a, you know, a P-test, and it's going to be negative, and I'm going to tell them they're crazy. Well, the thing was super positive. So I was super upset at the situation, obviously. Came back, didn't do anything, obviously. Came back, and then she was going to come visit and stay with me because of my depression was so bad. She was going to come stay with me 6 months. And so she came here in December, and in March, COVID happened. So they closed the airports and all this stuff. So she couldn't go back home. So I applied to get her.
I forget about COVID.
Yeah. I had to get her visa extension. I applied for it, paid for it. But they never answered me until 2 years after to let me know that they would extend it for a year. So I'm like, okay, well, your math is not mathing right now. Like, she is way past her permit, so she's not going back. So then I started my process to become a citizen because I never saw the need of doing that. I was always like, there was not a big difference other than this. I couldn't make her become a resident without me being a citizen first.
Right.
So I had to apply for that, and now we're in the process of getting her residence. But basically, that's how she was forced to stay with us.
So where in there did you decide to go get your real estate license?
So it was funny. When I was pregnant with my son, my husband is like very fair and he likes for all the kids to have their own bedrooms. And, you know, my mom was living with us. So we only had our bedroom, our oldest, my daughter's and my mom's. So Noah was going to be born without a bedroom. But I was like, babe, realistically, he's going to sleep with us for a year. He's not going to be in a bedroom. So we should wait. He was like, no, we need to sell the house, buy a new house, blah, blah. So then we met with the realtors that had helped him buy his property. And they were like, you have the personality. This is Merlin and Ron Rivera. I don't know if you guys know them.
We know.
Yeah. So they were like, you have the personality. You should look into real estate. And at the time, you know, very naive, it was a long time for me to understand the magnitude of money here in the States, like dollars, like what they truly meant. So for me making, you know, my $14 an hour that I was making at the time and having the benefits I had, I was like,
I'm doing all right.
I got it. You know, my husband makes good money. Like, we're okay.
Yeah.
I'm good, you know?
Right.
And then I was like, just the thought of like not having a paycheck and going to a commission 1,000% based.
Gotta be a little crazy. Right?
Yeah. So I was like, no, absolutely not. And so Ron met with me a couple of times and he was like, hey, Steph, I just think you don't like see the big picture. And so he started like breaking down a commission check. And
yeah.
I was like, mind blown, obviously.
Right.
And still at that point, I was like, how can you make so much money? Like, there's gonna be something that's not being honest here in this conversation. Like, there's no way. And so I started like investigating a little bit more, and he convinced me. So I went and I got my license. I passed on my first try, by the way.
Nice.
With my little broken English. So yeah, that's how I got into real estate.
So now, I mean, let's talk about how you built your business so quickly.
So,
well, I say so quickly loosely. I know what's required to do what you do. So I'm just saying 2.5 years that's quick. You know? So how? Let's talk about that.
So when I started doing real estate with them, I was a photographer. I was working at T-Mobile and I got into real estate. So I had a ton of debt from all those years that I was a single mom trying to survive. And when I got my first commission check, it was like $2,500 because it was a CELO lead. And I was so excited. I was like, because that's what I would make in probably like a month and a half, it after taxes, a month and a half. So I was like, you know, I took these buyers on a couple of showings. We clicked really good. Then an inspection and then an appraisal and then boom. And I was like, whoa, like, what is this? You know, so I got very excited about that. And so I got licensed in August and I didn't start actually
2021. Okay.
But I didn't start like working in real estate until October because it was like denial moment. Like, I don't want to come up like, hi, I sell houses now. Like, come buy a house from me.
How do I?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So then my husband was like, you just got to do it. Just
100%.
Make a post on your Facebook and just do it.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I'm just like scared. People's going to think that I'm so ridiculous for doing this and she must be struggling, that she's going to try something else and blah, blah. So I was like not wanting to try it for the first 60 days. So when I finally came out, I did it. My brokers put me on the CELO leads that they had. And so I closed two of those and two personal buyers. the first from October to December. So I was like, I literally made what I would make in 7 months working at T-Mobile in those 3 months. And I was
with both your hustles, right? Like,
yeah, because I was making at T-Mobile like 30 grand a year, maybe 28. And from my pictures, my photography had grown a little bit. I was making, I think the last full year that I did it, I maybe made like 50. I was probably making more from that than T-Mobile at the point.
Gotcha.
I got really good at doing newborn pictures. And so I was charging like $1,000 per baby.
Okay.
But, you know, there's so many photographers and it's just hard to get clients. So I would maybe have like a baby or two a month and family sessions and my Christmas minis were like really big. But so with making that much money in those, from October to December, I was like, I need to be smart because I've struggled my entire life, right? So now I see this opportunity of being able to make a good amount of money. So I'm like, well, you're not going to be stupid. You're not just going to go blow your money up and go back down to square zero. So I paid off my debt. And then I set a goal and I said, by December of 22, I'm going to quit T-Mobile and I'm going to just dive in full time into real estate. But my managers at T-Mobile, like, they were sick and tired of me because I would literally always have closing my car. Whenever a showing request was come through Zillow, I would like run to the bathroom, don't care about nobody. I would change my clothes, run out, take my lunch break, go to showings.
Sounds like Eric's last year in the Navy.
take an hour lunch break, come back. My manager would be like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm so sorry. Just took a little longer, blah, blah. But they saw the hustle, right? And they were like covering up for me. But it got to a point where it was just very noticeable where everybody was complaining about it. And so I was like, I need to figure these out sooner rather than later because I'm going to end up getting fired. And I don't want to leave being fired. I want to quit.
You
want to
leave on your terms.
Yes. So
not even quit. You're just moving on.
Yeah, basically. So from January to April, I made my full year of income at T-Mobile. So I was like, well, I was used to making $30,000 and living off of this amount of money.
Right.
So I basically, if I quit now, I have a full year to pay for my responsibilities at my home.
That made you comfortable to quit.
Right.
To walk away.
And if I don't sell a house in a year, then I need to reconsider my options, right? So,
but you just sold how many in 6 months? So you're also like, I know I can do this.
Right.
So,
but I've always like self-doubted myself a lot because sometimes I can't believe like good things are happening in the way they're happening because of everything that I went through. Absolutely. So it's like a little bit of a denial.
Trust me. I'm with you. I'm serious. I question a lot of what takes place. And then you remember back like, wait a minute. I deserve this.
Yes.
I've been through a lot.
Yes.
I've been through a lot. You know, anybody that's winning at a high level has probably been at rock bottom at some point.
1,000%. You know what I mean? So. Yes. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. And I almost have a heart attack. I was so stressed out and so nervous.
Yeah.
I think the first week I couldn't sleep. I didn't know what to do with my life.
But now you're like flipping houses.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was like. Yeah. And I mean, 2023, which was a lot of people struggled. You persevered. I saw the picture. I think one of your last posts not too long ago. You had all your awards on your.
Oh, yeah. I got 12. I sold 41 last year.
Yeah. That's not bad for year two.
Yeah.
Correct.
First one I sold 27.
Yeah.
I'm at 22 now.
Yeah. So you're meant for this, right? Like that's you start to get that feeling, right? Like, hold on.
Yes.
I am supposed to be doing this.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, because of everything that I've gone through, I've learned how to value people for what they are, not what they have. So I like
that one. We'll make sure we get that clipped and sent to you. That's a good I love that.
Thank
that's
you. Great. So I feel like people clients, they connect with me because of that value I give them. Like, I value you. I see you. I listen to you. I hear you. I understand your needs. I understand your fears.
Yeah.
I understand your emotions.
I am you.
Yes. Yeah, correct.
I've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. I want to help you get through that. That's,
yes.
That's it.
Yeah. So everybody always like speaks of what they felt working with me, and then they recommend me out a lot. So now my business, I think, my retail side of the real estate, besides my flip, I think is just literally all referrals. Like everybody that comes to me is through from following
that's
me
the
on
best
Instagram.
Business to build.
Yes, mm-hmm. or referrals.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to get caught in the hamster wheel of always, you know, you're chasing somebody else's lead source.
Yes.
You want to be the lead source.
Right.
And, you know, you did it in the beginning mm-hmm. to get your kickstart, but now you're seeing the fruits of your labor and how you take care
and
of people.
And I was on those little leads only until, because I switched brokerages. So I was with Marilyn and Ron until 2022, August. So maybe like 8 months of my career, I was yeah. with them. And then after that, I went to First Class, and I've been there for, it's going to be 2 years in August.
Yeah, well, that's all great. That's like the perfect story I'm looking for and message I'm looking to deliver to everybody. Like, that's the purpose of this whole thing. I think people see what people like us do in the industry, and they think it's easy, or they think, you know, there's some secret, or it's just like,
it's like
no,
who you know, minimal effort. Like,
yeah, bro, no. Like you're just not doing the work, and yeah. it's probably the work on yourself that you need to do first that's going to get you there, which I believe you're a testament to. So,
yeah.
The next thing I would say is, what do you do besides real estate? You know, what do you do for fun? What do you enjoy doing? What's the definition of your peak life? Like, how are you trying to live your life and be?
My kids, I want to just see them enjoy so much everything that I couldn't. And it's more like now that I'm in the position that I'm in, it's more like taking them on trips. We just did our first international trip with them to nice. DR.
Nice.
We just got back like a week and a half ago or so.
Love it.
And they were just so happy. My daughter is super sassy and she was like so happy. So it's, you know, I have little time that I can spend with them. You know, sometimes like yesterday I got home at 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
The day before I got home at like 7. So, you know, I don't have a whole lot of like free time. And that is a little bit of a struggle that I'm going through. It's kind of like learn how to balance, because I'm such a giver that I am the same way with my clients.
Yeah.
So I don't have like set boundaries per se. So I'm available all the time.
Yeah.
So that takes, you know, a little bit of time away when I'm there, but I'm not mentally there. Yeah. So,
but, I mean, you're 2.5 years in, right? Like that's, you're going to refine that.
You know right.
what I mean? Mm-hmm. You'll get to a point where you feel like your time is just as valuable as theirs. And when they really rock with you and they're going to support you, they'll feel the same way.
And they'll mm-hmm. respect those lines, those
yeah,
boundaries.
Absolutely. Because your clientele is going to become, more mature, more sophisticated, you know, but when you get to that, that's the sweet spot, you know,
mm-hmm.
And you're definitely on your way, obviously, quickly. Top producer first year, top producer second year, flipping houses second year, like you're killing it. The time management piece, it comes with time.
Yeah.
Because you know? It's new. It's still new, really.
Yes,
two,
it's still
two and a half
a
years
lot.
It's still, you know, well, everything for you has been new for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So,
literally.
So, but you just adjust and keep pushing and it'll... There's a saying, shit'll buff out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be all right. You're putting in the work. That's step one. So,
yes. It's never impossible, and that's a true testament that I can, you know, say I'm a living proof of it.
Let me ask you this. Were mm-hmm. you working this hard back in Colombia?
I was a server in a restaurant. Then I moved over to working a little bar. I've been working since I'm 16.
Right.
Because, you know, life financially over there is very hard. And my mom not always made the best decisions. So, yeah, I used to work. The bar hours when I became the manager was from like 11 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So it was like a long shift, and that was 6 days a week.
Because that's something we touched on a few podcasts ago with, it was Linda Harrison, which people forget, like growing up, like people just want to work one job and make everything happen, buy a house, buy a car. It's like, no, man, we grew up like working multiple jobs.
Yes.
If you wanted those luxuries, like you had to have another job.
And then, you know, I think it's so much different sometimes for people like in our countries, you know, there's no buying a house. There's no... Mm-hmm. buying a car when you're just a regular person. You, in my country at least, you have to be born in that setup family that comes from having money. But for you to go to have a lot of money on your own, there's no opportunity for that over there. You know, if mm-hmm. if you don't have, like, for example, your dad that was high up in this company and then you went to college and then your dad helped you get into this company, then you don't have the opportunity of achieving these type of things. Like, if you're just fresh out of college, they don't hire you because you don't have experience. And then if you're 35 years old, they don't hire you because you're too old. So it's just, over there is very, very hard. Credit over there doesn't work like it works here.
Yeah. Doesn't even exist.
No, it's crazy. So when are you going to have, let's say, in the exchange to Colombian pesos, $15,000 to go buy a car when you can't build your credit because they won't give you anything because you don't have a great job? It's just like a pile of, like, no. And, you know, it's hard. And then when I came here, it was just such a big change that I thank God that he made me go through all the things that I've gone through, because I think he was preparing me mentally to be able to have me in the right mental place and emotionally be ready to be able to control and manage what I'm doing now.
Absolutely.
And not just go crazy with it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like what I see, this is an industry that's very flashy, unfortunately. Like, everybody wants to flash who has more because they do more. So I think that a lot of agents get carried away in that toxic cycle, right? And
100%.
And so now you made your first year you made $100,000 and you went and you spend 80 and you are left with nothing. And then
you owe Uncle Sam.
Yes. And then you're in debt because your taxes are going to be 60 or 40 or, you know, whatever. Yeah. So I just feel like God prepared me. And don't get me wrong, I like to buy me, you know, nice things here and there. But I just feel like I'm in a position now that the more I make, the more I want to invest, because I want to, in 10 years or 20 years, look back and say, like, I was smart with my one opportunity. Because I feel like in life, you don't get opportunity, trust opportunity, trust opportunity to be very successful. You get your shot and it's in your hands to make the best out of it and to make it work. And so if you waste it, then shame on you. You know, is it going to come back that way in that magnitude? Probably not. So I've taken this opportunity to where, like, this is my only time and I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to make it work and I'm going to kill it because this is the only shot that I have.
I love it. No plan B.
No.
Mm-hmm. I don't have one either. This is it.
Yes.
all of this. Do you have any more questions, man?
Well, that's kind of, she was just touching on it. 10 years, I mean, production, what do you intend to do? You know, 5 years, 10 years down the line.
Real estate future.
Now your kids are older. They're grown. They're leaving your house.
Yeah, shoot, you're gonna.
No, they're not gonna leave my house yet.
Don't be that mom.
My husband is always talking about, like, you know, Jaeli's already 12, 6, 7 years. I'm like, no, sir. My kid is not. As long as he's a responsible adult, he's working.
Hold on 1 second. I just want to point something out. You're forcing your mom's relationship on yourself, and then you're gonna force your relationship on your kids. Throwing that out
is
there.
Is that a trait that am I supposed to be aware of?
I don't know. I'm just pointing that out. I was like, damn.
Your wife is Hispanic, right?
She's Puerto Rican and Dominican.
Okay.
And a little bit of Vietnamese.
I think we have that in our
100%.
In our culture where we don't kick our kids out at 18.
Like, I just always appreciate, because I come from a broken home and not really a family environment for many years of my life. That's what I love about a lot of the people at the company and my wife and just the area in general, my military service, the diversity to see people that actually, like, care about each other and mm-hmm. take care of each other and lift them up and push them to not even succeed, but, like, just get through obstacles. And, you know, because you specialize in tough love too, man. Like, but it's almost comedic the way that you do it. And that's a cultural thing. And I really appreciate that. Like, it impacts my life and how I treat my children. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, because I one thing I want to commend you on also is, like, actually, this is one thing where obviously through social media, you know, we see each other and everything. But one thing you threw us a shout out because you were like, damn, these guys are killing it. But we're watching you.
Literally
also.
All my contracts have Iron Valley on them. I'm like, okay.
but it's also like people forget we're in the same industry. Like, yeah, we should be learning from each mm-hmm. other. I was like, we're servicing basically the same market.
Right.
Yeah. We're using the same contracts.
Put out the same message. Use the same information. Be a united front.
Correct.
Not everything is a recruiting tactic. Mm-hmm. Not everything is let me get in your pockets. At least not for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never called you to recruit you. Not a single time. I just know you're killing it. I see you killing it. Dope. It's awesome. You're not in the media saying negative stuff about settlements. You're not in the media talking, you know, poorly about commissions, which they've always been negotiable, just so you
all
know.
Yes, yes.
You know, like, it's crazy that I even have to, like, you know, say that. Like, that's, no. So just you're doing the business
right. And
with
that commission situation, I just think that it goes on you as a listing agent, you know, and what you recommend your client to do, because they don't know any better. They're just... news are just to scare people and to 100%. Like steer them into what they want people to be doing, right? Yep. But it's in you to be the source that's educating these people, right? They're coming to you because you have the expertise they lack, right? So if you cannot explain the value of paying a commission to a seller, you're in the wrong business. If you have 100%. A seller that it's legitimately saying, I'm not going to pay a buyer's commission, you as a listing agent are lacking how to explain this buyer why it's beneficial for them,
actually,
the seller beneficial for them to pay.
To offer it at least, you know.
Right.
And I would agree with you wholeheartedly. And we trained to that. I mean, I was on a listing appointment the other day and I asked a guy, I said, sir, you know, let me ask you something. Do you recall paying your buyer's agent when you bought this home? Crickets, mm-hmm. just like that.
Right.
Because the answer is no. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and especially for like a military veteran, you're a veteran. This young man or woman is a veteran. They're trying to use that benefit that they've earned serving their country. You know, they don't make a lot of money and they don't have anything to come out of pocket, but they are qualified to pay you fair market value for your home. So what's wrong with making sure the other people working hard to make that happen are also compensated?
Yeah.
That's like asking you to go to work for free.
For free. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I agree
and,
with you.
You know, there used to be a term for that, and we don't do it anymore. And just kind of leave it there, right?
Yeah.
But lastly, we always do this because we've interviewed a lot of people now. I don't even know how many episodes we've recorded or put out. But we started asking a while back, you know, do you have any questions for us? Anything that we can
How
answer?
How have you guys grown your firm so much? Because it's, I love it. I love to see it. That's why I gave that shout out, because it's amazing. I mean, okay, when I was going to get my real estate license, I asked one of your agents, which was crushing to my heart because it was a very ugly response. But I was like, hey girl, I think I'm gonna go get my license. I had actually taken pictures of her and her family. That's how I met her. And I wanted to see if there was like anything you could help me for the test, you know, or like tell me what I need to be studying more than others, like what's the questions look like. Yeah. And she was like, oh girl, I come from a real estate background because my mom owns a brokerage. And don't worry about it. You're going to fail the test like 6 times. You know, I failed it 5 times. Just go back and take the test. It'll be okay. You'll pass at some point. But never helped me with anything. Like, that was the only thing she said to me. And I was like, okay, well, I told my house. And then when she said that to me, my husband was like, oh, you're going to do so great. And inside of me, I was terrified. I was like, I'm not going to pass this test. There's absolutely no way I'm going to pass this test. And so when I passed it, I was super excited. But it goes to say, since then, I've been hearing from you guys, right? I've been seeing your firm. And I started, it was either you or you. I started like seeing you on Facebook. This was like 3 years ago, but I've seen how fast your firm has grown. And that to me is like amazing, because I'm guessing, you know, the culture you guys have within your brokerage has to be great.
Yeah. So a lot of people have a lot of opinions. Most of them are wrong because they're built on inaccurate information. When you're doing well, people hate on you a lot.
Oh, 1,000%.
Talk a lot of shit about you when you're not around. And and they pretend in your face. And yes, I'm calling all of you out. I'm right here. Because that shit just gets old. You know?
I went through that when I was in a team up until November. I've been a solo agent for the past 6-7 months. Yeah. And all the things that were said about me, let me tell you, they're absolutely crazy. Because everybody knows that's not who I am. I gave my opinion of a person. Maybe I was rough with the words and how I said the things, you know, and I said it to the wrong people. But when they came to ask me, I said yes.
I've done that before too.
So, I mean, if you have an opinion of somebody, you know, we're in a free speech country, right? And I said what I needed to say and how I felt. Yeah. And I was taking down like I was the absolute worst human being of the entire universe. It was crazy. And then when they saw me crashing it after getting out of that team, there's no way. And it got to a point where they were saying I was stealing their leads. And that was because that was the only way I was able to literally triple my business as a solo agent compared to when I was in the team.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Take it to court. Yeah,
there becomes a point where none of it matters, right? So, but to your point, the answer is, first of all, it starts at the top, the leadership team, you know, from Jama in North Carolina to, you know, Edgar opening Prestige as a principal broker to Edwin being a managing broker of two offices to Eric taking over running the Red Mill office to our staff growing and filling positions as we grow. Like, there's so many moving parts to it, but it 100% starts with the people at the top being coachable, teachable, being willing to grow, and listening to criticism too. Like, I'm not perfect by any means. None of us are. But we all lift each other up when somebody's down. Mm-hmm. So that's where it becomes like that's the win, right? I was just out in Chesapeake finishing our graduation for the peak performance training that we hold. And I told Edwin, I said, hey, we got this interview scheduled, bro. One of us has to go or Edgar's just going to be setting up cameras, right? So he's like, no worries, bro. He took over the middle of the lesson. We stopped. We took a group photo so I could get out of there. They finished graduation while I was on my way here. I come here. He's already got it set up. Like, hey, we're a family. Like, there's not like a and we treat people fairly. Like, all the commission plans, everyone gets treated the same. I mean, you know.
Doesn't matter if you're new or 100% agent.
Yeah, if you're 80-20 or 100%, it doesn't matter. You can still come to the trainings on Wednesdays and Fridays. You can use any office that we have. There's so many reasons, but the real reason is the people. Lori Serrano is our director of operations. She's been with us since the day we opened. You know, the original co-founder, Eric Edwards, we served in the Navy together. Him and his wife were clients of mine at one point. And then
you started all, like, you were the...
Him and Eric were the original founders.
Here in Hampton Roads, yes. So it's a franchise. We bought the franchise from the original founders of Iron Valley in Pennsylvania. We found them on Facebook while we were at a real estate conference, and then we did a call, and we liked it better than some other options that were being presented, so we chose to buy one.
And you guys started just one office together, and then
this office, yep, this office turned into everything you see now.
Wow, that's awesome! So How long ago?
We opened May 1st, 2020.
Oh my goodness!
Right in the middle of the pandemic, like the city just shut down.
Oh gosh!
Then there was a little break where they opened up in July. We had the mayor in, did a grand opening, and then it shut back down. So, you know, it's been a wild ride. But
how many agents you got now?
We're creeping on 300 between agents and staff, everything together. And I'm sure that'll continue to grow. But, yeah, I mean, the answer to your question is just that everybody takes care of each other. Like,
yeah,
or at least we try to. You know, there are
people. You can't satisfy everybody.
Yeah, but there are people that don't fit the culture or don't want to do the work or – maybe our model just doesn't work for them because we're very independent. We train to build your business without leads, even though we do have lead programs.
And that's the best way to do it.
You know, we do have lead programs, but also nowadays in a saturated industry with high interest rates, less buyers in the market, and, you know, listing agents that have been listing for a long time, it's hard to really get into our business and do very well right now because you can't just go out, show a house, write a contract, and it's ratified. Mm-mm. You have to have skills. You have to be able to negotiate. You have to have a reputation. You know, and we train and teach and lead to all of those things.
The biggest thing is we're in the field too. Mm-hmm. Learning yeah. And
so you guys are still active.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's
we're competing brokers.
So I hate that argument, and he knows that because. But I always say, no, we're performing brokers. How can I teach you something that I don't know? Right. We just had 113 pages of contractual changes in our market. If you are not out there combating objection handling with buyers and sellers and actively educating them, how can you teach somebody else how to do it?
Right.
I'll wait. You can't. No. That's the answer. You can't. You're faking. And that's okay. You keep faking and we'll keep grinding. You know
what
I mean?
I think that's something that I see a lot of team leaders that they just like kind of like stop producing that much because they can't do both, right? They mentally, physically, they can't control yeah. both things. So I
well,
think
you
it's,
could, but it's discipline and time management.
Well, but that's why they can't because they lack that. So I feel like it's amazing to see that you guys are still performing as agents, you know, to know your yeah. market and learn it and still training your agents.
You know, there's also systems for that. You know, we all take a little bit of a pay cut. We all run what's called a showing agent model, mm-hmm. but we train these people and we pay them fairly. And that's why they stay with us, you mm-hmm. know. And then, of course, there are people that either they're not going to make it in real estate regardless because we have a high attrition rate, one. Or two, you know, when you hold people accountable, when you try to be fair to everybody, there are people that don't like that, you know. Your job as a leader is not to do what everybody wants. It's to do what everybody needs.
I think a lot of times in this business, what newer agents think of them when they go into a team is that, oh, they're going to feed me everything I need and I'm just going to, boom, go make six figures a year because I'm now in this team. Yep. And, you know, yes, there's some teams that just feed you leads and do this and that. But when you teach yourself, when you don't teach yourself how to go out there and find and generate your own business, absolutely. What if Zillow goes away? You know, you're going to be screwed. Like, yeah. you never learn how to generate
or
your business.
Or maybe you can't afford it. Or maybe you're not on their preferred list for their
that
flex
thing
program.
Is
but that's because that's not the only way to do it, you know?
And there's nothing better than, like, for example, in my case, I love when people reaches out to me like, hey, Steph, I want you to help me buy a house. Hey, Steph, I want you to come sell my house.
Yeah.
Because, or like, hey, like today, one of my followers on Instagram that I used to be her photographer. She sent me a message and she was like, hey girl, I have a friend that's having issues selling her house and she wants to stop working with that agent. Can you help her? Yeah. Because I know you take care of your clients first and foremost. And that kind of stuff to me like makes me feel like, okay, I'm a story junk. I'm sharing my life through stories all day, every single day, right? But I feel like people
that
has been able...
That attracts people.
Yes, they have been able to know who I am.
They engage 100%.
The goofy me, the silly me, the smart me, the...
Absolutely.
You know, and I feel
that
like...
That reminds me.
And I feel like that's how you want to run your business and that's where you want to build yeah, your businesses.
For sure.
Like you said, you are the lead generation machine in your business, yep. not your team leader, not Zillow, not, you know, someone that's just feeding you leads. It's got to be you.
Yeah, we used to call leads something else, a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like just treat people right mm-hmm. and they, okay, I'm not saying everybody will, all right? I'm not ignorant, like I'm not naive to, you know, there are some shitty humans out there.
Oh, yeah,
but
for sure.
If you take care of people more often than not, that they'll reciprocate that.
And life itself is going to take care of you.
Yeah. And if they don't, you got to cut them out.
Quick.
That's it. You're in control of your life, you know?
Yes.
So I don't have anything else. I think it's been a great episode. Thank you all for following, watching. Please like, comment, share. Until next time.
Thank you guys for having me over.
Thank you.
Absolutely.